This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and welcome back to another session with him on the right hand side of me. His name being none other than
Abdurrahim Green, the Green Man. And there on my left hand side is, of course, the esteemed Dr.
Abdulhaq Baker. And this is a piece of cake. And at a slightly later time to incorporate, I think, the prayer timings. And yeah. Also, there's a reason why I asked for it to be a little later today. And yeah. The title, Leela Jones, yes, I think it's an interesting, amazing title for your interest. And yes, I had to meet a group of young men very recently, this evening, who are part of a college trip and visit from the UK to UAE, Abdurrahim. And
yeah,
I didn't expect this to be the case, but after meeting them and the experience that I had with these wonderful young individuals, when I came on, I was on my way home and thinking about this show, I thought, subhanAllah, look at this. Looking at them, I was talking to them about their potential. I was talking about what they need to strive for. And I was a little emotional from the perspective that I saw people who looked like you and me. They were white and black individuals, most of them not Muslim. Yeah. Okay. And I saw that hunger in their eye and I saw that energy in their eyes. But I had this sort of hope that, and I've never felt like this before for our generation to the degree I did this time, which was they live to see full maturity, full manhood, to reach their aspirations. And why was I thinking that, Abdurrahim? Because I knew the environment they come from. I know the lifespan of those coming from a similar environment to myself.
So, like, and when you said that, bro, the first thing the first thing that popped to my head is it really that bad, bro? Are you really talking about, and what is the attrition rate? What do you think? What percentage? How many of those guys are going to make it? Is it young men particularly? Is it girls as well, or particularly young men? And particularly, like, how many of them do you think on average are going to, because I know there's some people in some parts of the world, and I mean, we're talking about the Western world, right? Who literally, they're the only one left from all of their friends.
Right.
Like, they're either dead or in prison. So what's it like, bro? What's the attrition rate? You know,
do you know what? I can't put a percentage on it, but when as I said, there are 35 of them there. I went to meet them because I said, come to my school, my business partners, bring them to my school. So I was providing buses for them to go around to, they're going expo, they're going everywhere tonight, they're going to the place. So when they all came in, even them walking in and my security let them in, who would do 24/7 security, and all these little bits, my partner said, they were really surprised at the welcome they got as they came in. 35 young men, black and white men, walking into anywhere in London or in the UK will be met with fear, security, police, everyone be called. But yet they saw the gates open and they realized that was because, okay, there's a connection. This has been facilitated for them. And then I thought, let me speak with some of them. Some wanted to charge their phone, so I brought them into my offices and let them sit and charge the phone. And I saw them looking sort of amazed, like, who's this black Londoner, he sounds like us, he looks like us, sitting in this very auspicious office, and he's got security waiting at his beck and call. And so my partner said, he's just like you. He was just like you. And I said, exactly. Mm. There's nothing special about me. I'm just like you. But I broadened my horizons.
Yeah.
They started listening. And I said, some of you are keeping yourself at a particular level just to fit in with your friends. I said, have you thought about it differently? If you strive, if you change yourself and reach the potential you know you've got in education and beyond, yes, you will step above some of your friends academically, but then what do you do? This is what we do, I said. Then you bring your friends through. You encourage your friends. And I saw them listening really attentively. Like, some of them hadn't heard this type of explanation before, which was a surprise to me. They may have heard all the emotional and emotive speeches about you can be the best of yourself. And that's what I told them as well. But what is that best? That best doesn't mean that you're going to be kept at a particular level.
Yeah.
Because you want to keep your friends happy or your peers happy. You've got to look at what you want and you've got to strive for it. And Abdurrahim, it was, while they were listening, remember, I didn't know some of them. And as I was speaking with them about this, I told some of them, look, I'm from South London, Brixton. And I asked one or two of them, where are you from? And they became very apprehensive, very guarded. One of them said, I come from near where you come from. And I know, I'm not going to say it on here because I want them to be highlighted. But I said, I know the area, I named it. And I said, we don't need to do that here. There are no boundaries between us as individuals, okay? I saw him relax a little. I saw one or two others relax a little. But Abdurrahim, if you're from Tuesday, for example, and you're from Bala, you and me will not cross into each other's postcodes because of what I may do to you and what you may do to me. Now, I know those who are watching are aware of this. I know you're aware of this, Abdurrahim.
Yeah.
The thing is that seeing that when you've brought these individuals out of their environment, you've brought them out of the country, and then you speak to them because they're seeing all of this life and they're seeing someone who looks like them, sounds like them, living in the environment, and you can see them looking like, okay, how do we do this? And I said, it's not necessarily about not getting out here doesn't mean you've made it. You can make it what you are, but you've got to change that paradigm. You need to change that mindset where you are. So I think that work in progress, okay? We haven't reached where we want to be. And this is for all of us, Abdurrahim. If I ask you, if you ask me, and we look in the mirror, we don't look all the time and say, look at me, I've made it, okay? Unless we're arrogant. If we're being humble, if we're really using the deen, this is us now. These were non-Muslims, as I mentioned to you, most of them. If we're using the deen as that benchmark regularly, we will know that we're not where we are. And some of us may be disappointed in that, but that's not what we should be doing, because there's so much mental health issues about not achieving our full potential, being depressed for not getting where we want to be. It's when we look at where we've come from, when we look at where what we've moved away from. And Abdurrahim, if I was to ask you, I've known you that most of my deen now, being on the deen 32 years, I think I've known you for 30 years.
Yeah.
Whilst you were a beautiful individual when you were 30 years ago, mashallah, tabarakallah, you've changed. I've seen a calmness maybe that wasn't there before. You might say the same concerning myself. The point I'm emphasizing is that we're not where we once were at. We're proud. We should be proud that we're not where we once were, and that where we are going towards is an exciting place to continue to strive for.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can look back in how I was back 30 years ago. You're right. I don't know if I've got better or worse, to be honest. I don't know if I could revive some of that, how I used to be back in those days. You know, there was certainly there was that high, you know, that iman high, that, you know, like you were just on a different high when it comes to iman.
That's right.
So I think it's different. Like, I think, you know, I think when you get to, I think when I'm at this stage, it's sort of like, I remember this brother saying quite a few years ago now, right? It was quite a few years ago, but it was one of those sort of seminal moments. And he said to me, you know what, Abdurrahim, you're at the stage now when, you know, you begin to realize you're in this Islam for the long haul, right? You're in it for the long haul, right? The sort of buzz and the excitement of this whole new thing and this new environment and these new people and this new family, you know, and the whole Brixton crew. And, you know, that was a special time, right? You know, it was a really special time. being in Brixton in those days, and you know, the whole Salafi Dawah, we talked about it a lot, you know, the GMS days. We, that's how we started this podcast. We went through that whole thing, and we've been through all of that, and it was a very, very special time. But you know, as this brother pointed out, he said, yeah, you're in it for the long haul,
right?
And you know, it's that long haul thing, is that, you know, I guess your whole paradigm shifts, your whole approach shifts. You don't know, like, you know, you may have another, you and me may have another 20, 30 years of this, right? Who knows? Like, people, you know, or who knows? Obviously, we might die next year, but it could be another 20 years. Like, we're still, you know, what are we, in our 50s? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we could be in this for another 20, 25 years or something like that. So, yeah, there's still a long way to go. And I think that's the thing, is that when you realize that you've got this long, potentially long distance to cover, I think your whole demeanor shifts, your whole attitude shifts. And yeah, you get older, you get wiser, you get more chilled. You know, you have a wife, you have, you know, kids, your priorities are different. You know, when you're young, you have all of that gung-ho, yeah, you know, guns blazing stuff. And then it's sort of like, yeah, you realize that all of those things have consequences, that sometimes you only see those consequences years down the line. It's like one of the things we're saying to the brothers about the whole, you know, Uyghur thing, right? And it's like, you know, people are making a big, some people are making a, and you know, rightly, obviously we need to stand up for anyone who's suffering and oppression and genocide, potentially whatever is going on there. But as some brothers are pointing out, it's the, well, look, remember, you know, remember Afghanistan in the 80s, you know, remember Bosnia, like that it was all fine to talk about it then, but it's come to bite a lot of people. It's come to bite them back right now. Right. Yeah. Or it did, at least right. Certainly it did, in it 10 years ago and stuff like that, post 9/11 and stuff like that. So with these things, you learn a lot of, you know, you learn a lot of lessons. I don't know, bro.
No, I agree. I think that, and okay, the road ahead, I think for some of us is going to be shorter, Allah knows best, than the road behind us.
Yeah,
and
probably, I think, almost definitely.
Well, being proud that we're not where we used to be, of the aspects that we know that we should have shunned, it took maybe longer to do that, to change those particular aspects. Remember, we converted, Abdurrahim. We became
Muslim. Yeah, from that perspective, I agree 100%. Like, look, from the perspective of what I used to be like before Islam, there's very, very, very little that I can look back and feel that. Yeah, there's almost nothing. There's almost nothing that was there. Like, almost nothing. I probably can't think of a thing really that I would say is, yeah, I'm proud I left, like, all of that. I think, you know, if there was anything worth hanging on to it, I've hung on to it.
Right.
So, yeah, from that perspective. But, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I think your background and my background are very different. I think I would have, you know, like I often said, I would have ended up being a wasted hippie beach bum. That's probably what I've been, smoking a lot of weed on the beach. Yeah. Surfing or God knows what. That's probably where I would have been. Yeah. Probably right. Some burnt out hippie somewhere in a field, you know. By the beach or something. So, like, nothing to be proud of there at all. Nothing to aspire to. Like, even in terms of, you know, leading a real hippie, eco, sustainable, non-impactful life. No, you're not, honestly. I'm sorry, if you're sitting there smoking weed, you're just wasting your life. You could be doing a lot of really good things for yourself and humanity. So, I mean, that I probably would have gone down that line and wasted my life like that. And you, it would have been a whole different crime genre, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I was, my background, without going into too much detail, I had a duality of lives, as you know. I was working in the legal profession by that time. Yeah. And actually, working in the legal profession And then my other life, my night life and everything else that I was doing there,
yeah,
they actually merged quite well. And I was explaining to these young men today, and I explained when I was visiting individuals in prison, when I used to do visits and speak to the young men there. I said, really, that what I realized was that the hustling I was doing and the illegalities that I was doing on the street, I said, it's just the you just had to turn it and put the legal framework around it.
Yeah.
And the permissible according to the law, and just switch lanes. And that's what I was doing. And that's why I became so good. I was winning cases in my firm. I was going to court, barristers, and winning because I knew how to read between the lines, the language. I was very good at language, became even better at that. And then when you're going back into your street life and you're doing all the other things that you're doing, and it's just switching, it's code switching. And I was very good. So I had that duality of life. The thing that I had to look at is which one would have overtaken. And I think the latter, the street culture, everything, that may have overtaken. And I had very much close shaves as a result of that. So like you said,
things like that do have a way of catching up on you, bro, don't they?
Exactly, exactly.
That's
so what I brought with me to the dean, I'd like to think were the best aspects of me, I hope, inshallah. The temper's still there, but that's is it as bad as it was before? Some would say it is. I hope it isn't, because I know what I used to do when I wasn't a Muslim, and I don't do that now. But the best aspects of me, I would like to think that I brought, and the worst aspects, either I've subdued them, some of them have been eliminated completely. So would I say I'm proud of what I've left, and I still haven't achieved where I want to be?
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle. So for me, it's somewhere in the middle between both what I've left, how far away I am from those negative aspects, and where I want to aspire to be, how close or how far I am to those aspects. But one thing I do know, I don't think it's safe to ever say that we are the finished article, the finished product.
Yeah, for sure, bro. But what do you think? Look, this is you and me. Yeah. So we've had our little sort of, we've talked about ourselves, but what you posited today in today's talk, as a sort of approach to, as an approach to building your life, right? I mean, so the first thing is I'm proud of, I may not be where I want to be, right? I guess we can agree, right, on the fact that we always need to be trying to improve ourselves, right?
Right.
I think that from an Islamic perspective, we can all agree is that everyone should be in some way, shape or form trying to make themselves better in some way. That just never ends. You're never going to be perfect. So it's always work in progress, right? So I guess that's the first thing. The fact of that aspirational mindset that, I'm always going to improve myself. But I guess this whole thing of like the first thing, let's examine that as a general philosophical, or maybe not philosophical, but a sort of, I don't know, what's the term, right? Psychological mindset. I'm proud of where I may not be where I want to be, but I'm proud of where I came from. Like in other words, the idea that I have moved myself forward in life.
Right.
So I guess like this is again, I want to go back to your group of, your group of London boys, right, who came to visit you, right? It touches upon this whole idea of self-esteem, right?
Yes.
There's quite a lot of evidence that having some degree of self-esteem, right, is actually really, really important.
Yeah.
For people to move forward and succeed in life, because if you don't have some degree of self-esteem, you're always putting yourself down. You have an extremely negative mindset, right? It's almost like you can never accomplish anything because you just think you're so incapable, right? How far do we take that, bro? How far do we take being proud of, what you've done for yourself, as opposed to potentially being arrogant? And so what do you think about that, bro? And your London boys in respect to how would you advise them for them to, feel proud of themselves without being arrogant and stuck up?
What comes to mind? That's an excellent question, Abdurrahim. I think what comes to mind immediately is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we should not look at people above us and envy and aspire to them for the reason of it will cause envy, and we should look at those who are less fortunate than ourselves.
Yeah,
check where we are, and not to be arrogant or haughty, but to appreciate that we've been blessed and given maybe more than those individuals have. There's a balance that we need to maintain between those aspirations that we have and those who may have been, who may be where we once were. Okay. I think it's very important that we keep checking ourselves with and have these checks and balances in that particular way. And then also what we've got to look at is, in striving for perfection, what is the intention for us striving for perfection? We as Muslims have, and the mankind, have got the best of mankind as an example. And Allah told him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he has not sent him except to perfect good manners, good character. So none of us will ever be better than the best of creation, the best of mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we have him as our guide, as our benchmark for what to strive for. I think in that way there, self-esteem, humility first and foremost, is important. And some of us lack humility. And humility doesn't mean we put our heads in the sand and we act as though we're more pious than thou. Humility, I believe, if I'm looking at it in the context of today's world and how we are as humans, is checking yourself and knowing who you are and the context within which you're living, okay? Never thinking that you're better than anyone. As we said, you and I, we've said this many times, we could be praying and we see someone who is clean shaven, or a sister sees someone who's not wearing hijab and she's wearing hijab properly and everything. And we're not talking about the prayer or these aspects of weakness in that particular individual, but they may be more sincere than the one who's covering. They may be more sincere than the one of us who've got our beard. They may be more fearful of Allah because they're aware of their weakness. They're aware of their shortcomings. And they've taken that to Allah and they're asking Allah to help. Whereas the one who's I'm not saying all those hijabs, I'm saying an example here. Those of us with beards might be thinking, well, I've got a beard and he hasn't, and I'm following the sunnah and everything like that. Absolutely, we're following the sunnah. But are our hearts rotten? Have we got disdain? Have we got haughtiness? Because we're judging on someone who is not doing quite what we see from the apparent side of things. Externally referencing and judging people who we see as not being the same as ourselves. So that's important. That's really important, that when we look at another, that we don't judge them from what we are seeing, because they could be better than us. And before I hand it back, let me say salams, and you've got to say it as well. We've got so many salam in us, and we have a great
mashallah.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all of you. We're not ignoring you. As you know, Abdurrahim and myself get into the zone sometimes. So apologies for salaming you 23 minutes in, but welcome to all of you. And
So like what you're saying reminds me of that hadith of this woman who, they came and asked the Prophet about this woman who used to, you know, like fast and pray a lot. But she had a really bad mouth and used to badmouth her neighbors, you know. And the Prophet said, she is a woman of hellfire. I mean, bro, I mean, this is a, you know, an established authentic hadith. It's like, that's really scary, right? You know, someone praying and someone fasting, but they would have an evil tongue. They had a bad tongue. They would talk bad things about people. And it's exactly what you said. We should be very careful not to look down upon people. But, you know, back to this issue of self-esteem, bro. Like, one of the issues is, I think, you know, again, back to the hadith you mentioned about look at those people who are below you rather than those who are above you, is particularly in terms of worldly things. So, like, the scholars say if it comes to deen, if it comes to manners, if it comes to things like that, then actually you should look to those people above you because you want to be motivated to improve your religion and character. Right. But like, and so this is the interesting thing, bro, is that I think a lot of people, you know, maybe a lot of the youth that you know about from that, you know, like those London youth and the background that, you know, maybe you came from, is that a lot of people look for self-esteem in material possessions, right? And so they think that self-esteem is wearing a pair of Nike trainers or whatever, right? Or Adidas or I don't know, whatever the thing happens to be, right? And, you know, wearing this particular type of clothes and having this type of brand and having all this bling, right? And they think that, yeah, if you've got that, you're something, right? You're driving a, you know, you're driving this type of car, you're driving, you know, and that's it. People, you know, it's all about respect because of, not because of a person's manners, not because of, you know, what they achieved in terms of helping other human beings and, you know, elevating people in terms of their education or looking after old people or whatever. It's like a whole completely confused,
right,
and distorted and perverted idea of what respect and self-esteem is, right? And that's really, really highly problematic, I think, is that, you know, when it comes to these things, people have stuff really, really, really upside down. So that even when they do try to, like, you can understand people want, you know, they want to feel a sense of having achieved something.
Right.
But then even when they do aim for something, it's the wrong thing because they've been given the wrong target to aim for. You know, right. It's just part of the whole diseased society we actually live in, you know?
Yeah. And Abdurrahim, that's very important what you've said there, because if we're looking at what achievement is, some may scoff on it or scoff about it when they hear the narration where the Prophet ﷺ told us words to the effect that if we wake up in the morning, we've got a roof over our heads and we've got a meal to eat for the day, then that's what contentment is.
You're a king. Yeah, you're a king.
That's what contentment is. Yeah. And that's not enough.
Well, I just want to, so I have to mention something, because I think this is just a really, really interesting piece of information. Yeah, I will not try to take too long. Yeah. Now, it's very interesting in the Quran that Allah is reminding the Bani Israel, or Musa is reminding the Bani Israel, right, that didn't Allah make you kings, right? Now, I was looking at this verse and I was saying, wait a minute. Now, before Musa, no one was a king like that. Okay, there was Yusuf, but and he was given a high position. Mm. But like from the Bani Israel, none of them were kings. Like I was really confused about this ayah, right? So I remember reading something, you know, Yusuf Ali years and years ago. And I started doing anyway some research and some tafsir. And bro, the scholars, they mentioned, right? You know what they mentioned? They mentioned this hadith that you mentioned, right? And it says that actually they were kings because Allah provided them and they had plenty of provision and they would wake up in the morning and they had houses and they had food, right? And because of that, subhanAllah, this is what the Prophet said, you are like a king, subhanAllah. It didn't mean it actually literally. Anyway, bro, I thought I'd mention that because I think that's
amazing.
Really fascinating.
No, subhanAllah. And look at it now. That's not enough for us.
No, okay? Right, yeah.
That's not enough. And we are so externally referenced societally. So as you mentioned, the Nike trainers, the Adidas, the car, all of this, the bling, all of this, we believe is going to make us feel self-validated. It's going to raise our self-esteem. But none of that's going to go to the grave with us. None of it's going to go to the grave with us. And what we've got to look at, and this is what I've said to my children recently, I was saying to these young men when I mentioned it to them today, invest in yourselves. And what is that investment in yourself? It's studying. It's developing your character, because nobody can take that from you. As Mukeet mentioned previously, and Jazakallah Khair, Mukeet, that life is a marathon, not a sprint. But the way many of us are living this life is that we want gratification now, and our children are even worse for that now. And what is it doing? It's killing people, literally, mentally, spiritually, psychologically. Okay, so yes, that you are like a king. You wake up. Let's look at what's happening in Ukraine. They've lived in peace for years. Now they've lost their homes. The same happened in Syria. We saw it in other places, in Tigray. We see living for generations in peace and tranquility, and when it's gone, then we realize it. And we've got to take lessons from what we're seeing happening around us. Okay, when I was watching yesterday and seeing that 16 missiles were fired at Saudi Arabia, and we saw the Saudi Aramco oil tankers on fire, Abdurrahim, I used to drive past there almost every day. My wife's contacting our daughters, and are you safe? Are you okay? They're looking out of their window when they're seeing these things. So my thing is, why am I raising that?
Yeah.
Safety, tranquility, security. Allah speaks about those in the Quran. And Allah says also elsewhere in the Quran, do people feel secure in the day while they play or at night while they sleep?
Yep.
Do they feel secure from Allah in this way, the wrath of Allah in this way? Do we feel so secure that we are going about not perfecting ourselves, thinking that we have got time to be as lax as we've been?
Yeah.
Okay, to facing the dunya. Do we feel secure that there's going to be a time, like the individual gets to his deathbed or her deathbed, says, now I wish I'd done Hajj, but you had the finances, you had all of the time to do Hajj.
Yeah.
Our prayers, those who've neglected their prayers and are not praying. So my thing is, with self-esteem, that's investment in self. And Abdurrahim, what do I mean by that? If we look from our perspectives, if we do our 5 daily prayers,
yeah,
rewards for those 5 daily prayers in this life, in this era, this age that is spiritless, doing your 5 daily prayers is very significant. That's one thing. But Abdurrahim, also what we are not doing, if we prayed, you, me, everyone else involved in watching this and participating now, if we prayed each prayer trying to make it better than the last one.
Yeah.
If we pray each prayer, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, as if it was our last prayer,
yeah,
there is building of self-esteem, because humility will come. We'll be striving in our prayer, in the wudu that precedes that, in the deeds that we do after that. So if we just stuck with the pillars of Islam, mashallah, you speak in Arabic now, Egyptian Arabic.
I wish, bro. I wish. Some random thing popped up, bro.
Mashallah. So my thing is, no, that's not Abdurrahim. He hasn't suddenly turned Egyptian, because that would be striving for perfection, because I would admire him and say, this is what I envy him for. Now he's speaking fluent Arabic and he sounds Egyptian. Then I would say, mashallah.
I'm just making it up now.
No, mashallah. So Abdurrahim, I think here, also we're told in the hadith, khataballahu isan ala kulli shay, to strive for perfection in everything that we're doing. And the hadith went on, if you kill well, and that's concerning slaughtering of the animal. Okay. So everything we do, and if we ask ourselves this question, are we doing that in everything we do? Are we trying to achieve perfection?
Yeah.
Are we trying to achieve? And if we asked ourselves honestly, the question would be no. Occasionally, we'll put the effort in, but we're just in cruise control and we think that is enough. What if it's not enough?
Yeah. I think, yeah, I don't, yeah. You know what? I look, this is a really interesting conversation, because this could open up a very big discussion. Yeah. So I'm quite interested. I'm quite interested in having this conversation, because, like, I totally get what you're saying, bro, but I'm just going to come at it from another angle, right? Is that sometimes, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, look, there's, yes, okay, on one hand, there is the, you've got to strive for perfection, be the best you can, push yourself, improve yourself, right? What is there except constant improvement, right? I sort of get that, right? But on the other hand, there is also this thing is, wait a minute, like, Allah doesn't expect us to be perfect, right? And maybe this whole you know, this whole thing of pushing and pushing and just like, you know, how, you know, far can you go and how big can you be and how pious can you make it? And, you know, whatever it is, right? It's like, wait a minute. You know, Islam is easy. You know, this man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, he said, how many prayers are there? The Prophet said, there's 5 prayers every day. He said, do I have to do more than that? He said, no, not unless you want to. He said, is there anything after the prayers? Yeah, you have to give zakah. Do I have to give more than that? Nope, not unless you want to. He said, is there anything else on top of this? Well, yeah, you have to fast Ramadan. Do I have to do any more fasts? Right? Nope, not unless you want to. Yeah. And is there anything more than that? Yeah, you have to make Hajj, you know, once in your lifetime if you can afford it. Is there anything after that? No, like just treat as halal what's halal and as haram what's haram, right? So the man said, if that's it, I'm going to do what I have to do and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to increase on it or decrease on it. That's right. The Prophet said, if he is true to what he says, he will go to paradise. Yeah. And bro, sometimes it's like we forget. Like, to be honest, bro, there are a lot of scholars, a lot of people, even today, so many who, you know, if you don't read a juz of Quran, you know, a week, astaghfirullah, you've abandoned the sunnah, yeah? Let alone if you didn't pray your sunnah muwakkada, right? There are many, many scholars, you will find them saying, oh, this person has abandoned the sunnah. Right? They literally have abandoned the sunnah. Oh, bro, it's Ashura today. You're not fasting on Ashura, astaghfirullah, right? It's like, you know, they'll give you that sort of really sort of, you know, bro, do you understand what I'm saying? It's like there is this other thing where it's like you make it more than it is. Exactly. Not everyone is a saint. Not everyone. Exactly. You don't even need to be a saint. Allah doesn't even want you to be a saint. Like, yeah, okay. I mean, alhamdulillah, if you want to aspire for that, you know, that walaya, alhamdulillah, right? But, you know, you say your prayers and you do your fasting and you follow your pillars and you treat as halal what's halal, haram what's haram, subhanallah. That's it. You're going to get to Jannah. You're going to be successful. You are going to be successful. Alhamdulillah, right?
And Ibrahim, what you are so glad you said that, because notice you heard me say about the 5 daily prayers. This is such an important discussion.
Yeah.
We've just got to do as that man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? And those Muslims who browbeat and chastise and look down, and even Ibrahim, maybe we were like that in the past. I'd say probably we were, with regards to attire, with regards to the sisters and the niqab and everything like that. And as we've matured and we've looked at things, I said, I know a lot of people, as you do. I've met some wonderful people who give charity and any charitable aid, and they help individuals. They do it secretly. They do it publicly. They're not seen. Yeah. And if you saw them, you think, oh, that individual isn't as practicing as the other one because of the attire isn't the same and everything. But that they have been doing deeds that we don't even know about that will draw them closer to Allah in this life and in the hereafter. And maybe...
I'm just saying, what if people don't even do that? Nothing. Like, they're just doing their... literally doing their basics, bro. And sometimes all I'm trying to say...
Yes.
Sometimes all I'm trying to say is... you know, that's what you need to get through life.
That's
right.
That's
you know, it's like, it's sometimes we make it bigger than it is, bro.
Yeah, we do.
You know, we make it bigger than it is, right?
That's right.
And the other thing is, we always have to be careful, bro, right? Here's a very important thing for everybody. Yeah. For you, for me to remind you and to remind myself, right?
Inshallah.
How did Shaitan get Adam, alayhi salam? The strangest thing, bro, the strangest thing, when Shaitan is trying to confuse and tempt Adam, he says to Shaitan, Shaitan says to Adam, alayhi salam, he says, Allah only wants to stop you being like angels, right? And it's like, wait a minute, why would Shaitan say that? Like, why, like Allah made the angels bow down before Adam? Right? Why? And bro, like this is, I only discovered this relatively, it's not recently now, but I used to say, oh my gosh, you know, when I discovered this, it was like, bro, it's because, why? Because Adam would look at the angels And he would say, look at the angels. They are worshipping Allah nonstop. They are making dhikr all the time, all the time, all the time. Me, I'm just chilling in the garden, eating some fruit, you know, hanging with Eve, yeah, mashallah, drinking and having a good time. But these angels, look at them. They are so pious. They are so, subhanallah. This is why Shaitani says, oh, Allah wants to stop you being like those angels. So he used Adam's love of piety and his love for Allah to misguide him.
Right.
And yes, this is what Ibn Taymiyyah actually said, that, you know, Shaitan gets people through two extremes.
That's right.
The extreme laziness, yes, that you just think, yeah, God's going to forgive me. And the extreme of over piety, of just like being over extra too much. Yeah. So we do more. And then what happens? You do bid'ah, and then you got to extra love the Prophet and extra this and extra that and extra dhikr and extra, you know, like zuhud and extra everything extra, until what happens? You just go astray. And you destroy.
And then on top of that, Abdurrahim, this is excellent. On top of that, if you don't go astray in that way, you then have disdain for everybody else.
On others. Yeah.
And you only keep your... And we know people like that. We know sections of the community that are like that, where nobody is good enough. And in fact, if being on the deen like that, if it is, in fact, on the deen like that, it should have others gravitate towards you. But if they detract from you, you've got to ask yourself, which you don't because you've got this disdain, is this how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was amongst the people? Everyone gravitated towards him. Everyone, even his former enemies, gravitated towards him because of his character, because of the balance with regards to his worship, with how he was. So if we're pushing people away, they're detracting from us. Yes, there will be some. If you and me are praying our five daily prayers, some might not want to be with us because it makes them feel guilty around themselves, about themselves, and their inadequacies or insufficiencies, deficiencies, sorry. So the point here is everything that you're saying and more. So when we're striving for perfection, Abdurrahim, we're not saying to go overboard. Because perfection
is, you know, what is perfection? That's the thing. Perfection is balance. Perfection is actually balance. This is the thing. It's finding the perfect balance. It's actually walking that tightrope. Yeah. So there's that thin wire, right? But you can walk on it, right? That's what it's really about. It's actually finding
the balance. But what for you, this is the thing we've got to look at as well, Abdurrahim. You and I have, when we've spoken to our new shahadas, those who've come to us and done shahadas, your perfection is likely to be different to mine.
Yeah, of course.
Your perfection is within your own construct and abilities. So that means that you may be able to do your five daily prayers on time. I might lag behind and delay it by a little bit or whatever. You may be able to do the sunnahs. You may be able to get up a little earlier than me and pray earlier than the night. You have to give more. All of our perfections are relative to us.
Absolutely.
And this is an important thing here. So when we say strive for perfection, that's within our own paradigm, our own ability, and no one can judge that in its specificity. For example, as I said, the examples that I've given, but what we do have, we have the criteria. We've got those from the deen, five daily prayers, as you said, fasting month of Ramadan, all of these things are there, and it's for us to look at that and measure ourselves with and against that. And when we're looking at our prayers, so for example, we may say we were more fervent in our prayer when we were younger and we were fresh to the deen. But Abdurrahim, in actuality, that may have been fervency and overzealousness. Then whereas when we look now, we get more meaning from our prayer. Even if it's guilt that we didn't have that fervency, the fact that we've got that guilt is showing, hold on a minute, we know that this prayer could be better than it was before, better than it is at this present moment now, because of how it was before with fervency. We feel more guilt. We have more reflection. Even if we're falling short, the reflection is there, like, I need to get back to how I was before. I need to protect my prayers like I was protecting them before. Nothing would interfere with my prayers as they were before. Even that acknowledgement is a change, is a move forward. We might not see it, but when we're beating ourselves up each time, is that from the shaitan? Is it from the shaitan if we're beating ourselves up? Now, as you said, and that I remember you, that Ibn Taymiyyah statement's fantastic. I remember using it in khutbahs in the 90s. We've got to make sure that we're not listless and neglectful.
Yeah.
But we've also got to make sure that we're not overzealous, because those who push with the overzealousness, they think they are being perfect. They think that they are better than they were before. But then later on down the line, you see when there's no one around them and you see their psychological issues that have set in, that they've deluded themselves. They've deluded. The Prophet ﷺ said, do not go to extremes in religion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do not.
And the extremists are destroyed, the Prophet said, isn't it? The extremists are destroyed,
Three times he mentioned that.
Yeah.
Three, and we're not, let's not put the context, we're talking about the takfiris. No, we're talking about those who are overzealous as well. Those who are fixated on particular things and push it to the nth degree, and not only for themselves, but against others as well. So striving for perfection, let's be really clear for our audience, is relative and subjective to each individual.
We are all
works in progress.
Absolutely.
All of us.
And everyone, I think the other thing, the key thing is, you know, everyone needs to understand that, you know, everyone has their own personality. I think everyone has their own, everyone has something to which Allah has facilitated for them. Yeah. For what? You know, Allah's made something easy for you, bro, and something different easy for me, right? So there are things that I guess, yeah, everyone has a skill set that you need to find what your skill set is. In a sense, your niche, that's really what it is. Everyone has their own little niche. And I think that's what it is. You have to find out what's useful for you on your journey to Allah.
Right?
What is useful for you on your journey to Allah? And what is useful for you may not necessarily be what is useful for me. And what propels you on your journey to Allah is not necessarily what is going to propel me. You know, if I spend my time trying to do the things that you're trying to do, it may actually damage me. It may actually derail me. It may actually make my situation worse. And we have to be so careful when we're trying to shove something down everybody's throat. I mean, you know, like, you know, I'm super passionate about dawah, and I think dawah is so important. But, you know, I realized that, but some people, they have this passion for charity. We, you know, like back in the days when we started IERA, subhanAllah, one of the brothers who literally, I would say one brother, right, his donations, very well off brother, literally built our organization. 50% of our donations came from him. Yeah, this guy, Allah bless him, right? The funny thing was, right, even though he supported us for years, right? And I think it's because he loved us. His heart was not really super into dawah, right? It was like, yeah, I know it's important and this and that. And he said to me one day, you know, look, Abdurrahim, I know dawah is important. I know it's a fard. I know we have to do it. But you know what? My passion is the Quran. My passion is people understanding the language of the Quran. I want people to, at least when they open the Quran, to be able to understand it and read it. That's my passion. I said to him, bro, if that's your passion, you spend your money on your passion, right? Don't give your money to us because it's not your passion. Spend it on what you care about, because this is what Allah has driven you towards. That is what Allah has opened. Allah will help us. Don't worry. This work will be supported one way or other. You got to do what you feel about, right? You got to support what you feel the passion about. Yeah. Your passion is not my passion necessarily, mashallah. Yeah. So, you know, I think this is really key for everybody. You know, you got to find your passion.
That's right.
And it may change as well, by the way. You may have a passion for Dawah, and then it may change, and it may be something else. And who knows? You may go through a whole journey of different things. But
yeah, and it's important what you said there about what is our passion. Like, for example, when it comes to relations now, we need to focus on when we are looking at our wives, for example, or our wives are looking at us as husbands.
Yeah.
Are we pushing on them how we want them to be, or are we pushing or driving and encouraging them to be the best of how they want to be before Allah? And a lot of the times, the former, and the same with our children. Are we pushing them to be the best that they can be as Abdullahs, Amatullahs? Or are we pushing them to be the best that they can be for us? And when we look at it, more often than not, we are pushing upon them. We are judging them on our criteria of what we think they should be. And what we hold their past to be, if we don't hold it to be good in our scales, then it's not good at all. Whereas with them, it's, well, no, hold on a minute. I've made progress and I want to achieve this and this and this. But because we don't encourage them, then it's complex,
isn't it, with your wife and your family, because there's a partnership, isn't it? It's not not like you can just like, it's not like you can ignore your, you know, it's difficult. All I'm trying to say, bro, is it's like the dynamics are really challenging, I guess, because like, you know, for example, if you have a career and you're making the money and you're paying the bills, right, you may really earnestly want your wife to develop her passion for whatever, but it's not going to pay the bills, bro, right?
No.
And someone needs to run the house, you know, while you're out working. So, you know, it's a difficult one. It is, but I guess I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying.
What you're saying is important.
But it's challenging, isn't it? Yes. The dynamic. And it might be the other way around, of course. I'm just saying it could be absolutely the other way around. She could be making the money. You could be looking after the... That's not the point. The point is the dynamics are, you know... but I get what you're saying.
And I think that has to be worked on, and that has that's constant work. But if there's something within, I'm talking from the perspective of character, okay, I would be happier if you are like ABCD, okay? And if she became that ABCD, you'll still never be happy, because she's become that according to her interpretation of what you want her to be. And when you see that realized, it's not quite what you've wanted it to be. And for the woman as well, for the wife as well, I would like my husband to be ABCD. And he becomes that. But it's not exactly what she envisaged. It's like Abdurrahim.
Yeah, it never is, isn't it, bro? It's like, the grass is always greener on the other side.
Right. we then need to say, okay, what is the best of what they're giving to me? And we must adjust to that. And vice versa. If we know that they are trying to be the best of themselves for Allah, and then alongside that for us, and our wives must see that if we are being the best that we can be as Muslims for Allah, and then for them as partners, they've got to see how they can accommodate that. Because when we look at the divorces and everything that's taking place, and we've both been divorced and everything, you'll see that we become like ships passing in the night. And it's like, sometimes you question, how were we ever together? Or if you're not asking that question, how did it go so wrong? And we need to check what our expectations were, are, and continue to be with our partners, with our wives, with our husbands, because they, as you said, priorities change, passions change, feelings change regarding particular aspects of life. And we cannot expect our partners to always move with us on that. So that work in progress, when you're in a marriage, it's even more difficult, because that work in progress is two individuals looking at their own selves. And as they're focusing on their own selves, passions may change that move them in that direction. But even if it's moving them in that direction, there's got to be a common thread that they're looking at. what is that passion that's moving them in that direction? Is it ultimately the same that will bring them back? Is there a thread that is holding them together with regards to the religion, with regards to the relationship that they have? And if that thread is there, as long as they recognize that one is pushing, one is pulling, and we're okay with that, because we're going to come back to this thread, that this bond that we've held here, then there's not too much cause for alarm if the relationship is an established one. This is how I see it. And I don't think that many of us let that happen. It's like, I'm moving in this direction, and if you're not moving in this direction with me, step by step, at the time I want you to be with me, then there's a problem. That doesn't always happen in life.
Okay. Sorry, bro, I totally lost you there. my whole screen went. I was saying, what happened? I was listening. Yeah, bro, I think, to be honest, bro, I think, you know, you've moved into the whole different realm now. Yeah, it's not completely different, obviously, but it's like a whole different subject now. Not different, it's the same subject, obviously, we moved it into the whole, you know, like husband-wife relationship realm. So we've done a big tour, bro.
But why? But why, Abdurrahim? Because as husbands and wives, we are still work in progress. And this is what happens. And this happens outside of Islamic marriages as well. How many marriages do we see where the couple gets older, they get older and they say, oh, we just grew apart, we wanted different things. And they think that's it. They've reached a point in life where that's it. No, Abdurrahim, as a couple, until death do us part, it's work in progress.
But bro, like, chill. It's like death do us part is not an Islamic vow, bro.
No, I know. I'm not saying it is.
If people, like, they've had their kids, they've done this, and it's like, oh, you know, let's try something different in life, and that they want to go a different way, let them do it, man. It's like, I don't know.
It's not that exactly. No, it's not that exactly. Why would they want to?
Again, bro, we don't need to put shackles on people when we don't need to. You know what I mean? It's like, we don't need to build for them a construct that is not even there necessarily Islamically. You know what I mean?
No, you're talking about the death to us part. I put that in as a joke. But what I'm saying,
okay, sorry,
it cannot be that our children have grown up, I feel different about the world, she feels different about the world.
Yeah, but why not? You know
what? No, that's fine. This is what I'm saying. Yeah. What did I say? This is maybe the part you missed. If there's a common thread and bond that's always been there, okay, but it's not as prevalent because of these changes, that doesn't mean we go our separate ways. Look at who was it? Umsalda, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, who waived her time. Okay, she recognized that the Aisha, being the younger one, the Prophet ﷺ may have a preference there. She didn't say divorce me. She waived her time.
Yeah, because she wanted to stay with the Prophet. She was
But the point I'm saying, there was a change, and the bond was still there. So what I'm saying in that instance, while we may change, that doesn't mean now suddenly, okay, we've both changed and we should go separate directions. I'm saying as a couple, we should have a mindset that we're both still works in progress. Marriage is complete in half your deen. Divorces happen, obviously. We're not talking about divorces or divorces. We're talking about having that mindset that our marriages a work in progress, because we have that mindset, Abdurrahim, we won't become so lax in the sense that we don't try with our spouses anymore. We don't really care. They see all our bad habits. We don't make any efforts anymore because we've been together 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 10 years. No, work in progress. And we want to continue striving for perfection. Why, Abdurrahim? Because in Jannah, we want to be with our spouses. I hope. Some might be say no, but I hope.
Bro, what's happened to you, bro?
I want to be with my spouse in Jannah.
Bro, you have changed, bro. You have changed.
Look, I've always wanted to be with my spouses in Jannah.
Next, you're going to be preaching monogamy, bro. Like, what's wrong with you?
No, No, you'll never hear me preach monogamy. You'll never hear me preach that.
It's going to be one man, one woman. Yeah.
Sunnah. If you're able to do it,
bro. Do it. No, I guess what you're saying, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with a bit of romance, and it's heartwarming to see an elderly couple, right, who have, you know, been in love all their lives, and they're 80 years old, and they're still, my mum and dad were like that. My dad adored my mum. He adored my mum, right? You know, he absolutely adored her, right? And he was like, 86, rahimallah, when he died, and like, he loved her to bits, you know. The fact they got old together and this and that didn't, you know, like they were still, they were fantastic, you know, like it didn't, like we were, me and my bro were grown up, married, this and that, it didn't change anything for them. You know, they were still, you know, happy little birds. So yeah, that it's always beautiful, man. I remember I had this next door neighbor back in, you know, our next door neighbors back in Norbury. And he was saying to my wife, you know what? There's not a single day that doesn't pass except I tell my wife I love her. And he was like 86. And yeah, it's beautiful, man. We love that stuff. Alhamdulillah, we're all squidgy and squadgy and love it. And what's there not to love about love? And you know what? You're absolutely right, bro. Work in progress. Work on your love. Work on your relationship. What is more beautiful than two people loving each other and inshallah dying in love with each other and inshallah being raised up and going to Jannah? You're absolutely right, bro. We love it. What a lovely thing to leave it on, bro. What a lovely
we
thing.
We are all work in progress, and this is a beautiful work place. And it's a good way, because Abdul Rahim, the next time probably we come together next week, it might be Ramadan. And
yeah,
a good note for everyone, we're works in progress. Don't beat yourselves up. Look at where you've come. We're on the deen. Even those who are non-Muslim are watching us now, listening. Maybe you've improved on things from the past. We're work in progress.
Yeah,
and we always will be a work in progress. And that's not a bad thing. As long as we're
Alhamdulillah, bro. Beautiful. Bro, it's been a pleasure as always here on A Piece of Cake with me, Abdulrahim Green here, and that one over there. No, that there.
Abdul Haq Baker.
Until next time, inshallah, we'll have another interesting topic. And like it might be Ramadan. Who knows? Inshallah, it's probably going to be so.
That's right.
Bro, it's been a pleasure as always, bro. Jazakallah.
Abdulrahim. Jazakallah. Have an excellent week to our viewers as well. And this has been A Piece of Cake. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.